This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Airing every day from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
What's so funny, Beverly?
What does this have great waffles?
You know who else has great waffles, Beverly?
Okay. Airing every day from
noon to 3.
You know, Beverly, I remember two Sundays ago after LSU game. When we woke up and you made Your scrambled eggs are the best. Those biscuits you make. Fluffy.
And this feels creepy. I'm 1340 WKGN.
1232, John Curry to Bev. You up? Eyeball emoji. Purple pickle.
There we go. The old eggplant.
Hour two in the Fan Run Studios. Hour two headlines. Draven, what you got for us?
We're gonna stay with Tennessee athletics, Cam, we're back. We're getting the
Tennessee
recruiting.
Me.
We're also dominating the academics as
Let's
well.
Let's go,
baby. Here we go.
Student athletes.
Yes, sir.
Student athletes.
Yes, sir. Matthew Butler.
Yes.
Balls football. Defensive
Heard
line.
Of him.
Yes, sir. He has been nominated for the 2021. McWerther Award.
Let's go!
What's
that award?
It is, Cam, I'm glad you asked, it is awarded to the SEC's top male and female scholar athletes.
Let's go, smartest of both genders! Let's go!
How about that? We also had Chelsea Segern, from the softball team.
Let's go,
also,
Chelsea! Yeah!
On the award list. Let's go!
Yeah, we're a big brain school over here. Who said Tennessee education sucks?
How about them apples, Chuck?
I don't see
on
Vandy
and off the field.
Yeah, where's Vandy at? Where's Vandy at? Your big brain nerd school over there.
Chuck,
where
you
are
said
you, at?
You said you had a class with Matthew Butler. I'm assuming he was a really hardworking, really spent a lot of time, you know, heading the books. I'd say.
Of course.
Okay. Just making sure.
Good take on that.
I would never speak poorly of our student athletes.
They are student athletes.
Right.
Their pursuit of knowledge.
Exactly.
It's elite.
Exactly. So here we go.
They may not be great on the field, but they are great in the classroom. That's all you need to know.
At the end of the day, that's all that matters. Right, Cam?
What does NCAA say, like, there's only so many people that go pro? They go pro in something other than sports.
Exactly.
That's what we're doing.
It's all about education.
We're rocking
at the
up
end
that
of the day,
pipeline.
All about education. Love to see it.
We're going pro Wells Fargo.
Yeah. Let's ride.
Good one, Hayden. That's a good
Love
one.
To see the big brains over there at UT. We're rocking it out.
What you got now, Chuck? Chuck,
Charlie
ordered food every
ordered food.
Day. Different food, man.
Got what
me
you got
hungry
today?
What
what's
we got
today's
today?
Move?
He is here for a long time.
What's for lunch today?
Yeah,
oh,
here,
yeah.
I've been here since 10.
I'll give you that one.
What's
I kind of forgot.
Today?
You're still on the blitz.
What's for lunch today?
Yeah, what you munching on?
Asian food.
Ooh, nice.
Hey.
I just go
Some
to
hibachi.
I go to the free delivery page.
Yep. So you got the hibachi place down the street?
Yes.
I've done that before. Good call. Good
My
call.
Goodness.
They do a solid job there.
Smells so
Look
good.
Okay.
I can't smell. It doesn't matter.
No. Still got the COVID
that's
after effects.
Tough,
Except
man.
That's not real anymore. So.
Exactly.
Amen.
Moving on to the NBA. Really odd situation with the Indiana Pacers. You guys see Nate Bjorkman. Bjorkgren?
Yeah.
I still don't even know how to say the guy's name. I don't think Indiana. Say it again.
I don't know. Bjorkgren?
I think it's
Bjorkgren. I think you're right. It's more of a Jor right there.
Bjorkgren.
Bjorkgren. But it's a
G-R-E-N.
So
maybe it's just a Bjorkgren.
Maybe. Nate Bjorkgren? Either way, this dude's about to get canned because the Pacers coach, who, by the way, again, this is his first year with Indiana, reports are coming in that his future with the franchise again is uncertain as the regular season starts to close out. Apparently, I mean, the Pacers, they're 30-34. They're in ninth place. None of that is terrible, but there's been issue with relationships with key players in his locker room and also a unwillingness within the organization to try to kind of address those issues. I guess he's just trying to avoid them based on kind of the reports here.
Sabonis and Miles Turner.
that's what I'm wondering. It's
the
stars
Sabonis,
that are,
I think, is on that list. Turner, you could argue.
But, like, what would those guys have to complain about?
Yeah, Sabonis, all-star.
They're about where you'd expect them to be,
I feel
right?
Like Tobias would be a pretty easy guy to get along with.
That's what I'm thinking. He doesn't seem like, and Miles Turner the same. These guys don't seem like high maintenance guys. Maybe it's because nobody's really watching them or hearing about them because they are in Indiana and they are a non-seed in the East, pretty irrelevant. But yeah, first year not going well for new head coach, as it could be a one and done situation there in Indiana. We also had, did you guys see, we had this sent in from Sawyer. We had the Cincinnati situation.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. We'll kind of touch on that a little later. I saw some stuff about him, and, you know, we kind of, you know, he's been fired, stuff like that. But, yeah, we'll touch on that a little later. Yes,
a little crazy.
Shout out to Sawyer for sending that in to us.
Does.
But, yeah, we'll get into that a little later in the show. Some interesting stuff coming out there for sure.
Absolutely.
With what he was doing, but.
Man, we always bring up LeBron, and this isn't a bash on LeBron. He didn't have any, you know, anything social media-wise, anything crazy like that, but there are reports, guys. I mean, he's going to miss, like, what, the next two games, and then...
Yeah, he's resting the next 2 days. Mister, oh, I missed 20 games because my ankle hurts. Now I need I played one game, and it still hurts. I need to rest three more.
I was also listening to Woj on SportsCenter, and he's acting like this could kind of leak into the... to the playoffs a little bit.
I think it will. If it's still bothering
him to that point,
I would be concerned for sure. I think it will leak into the regular season. Or, I mean, the postseason for sure. It just it's one of those things. I mean, if it's bothering him after like just you know come back from 20 games out and it bothered him instantly in the next game, that's gonna be a lingering issue. Then I feel like, but. Also a good excuse for him to be like, oh, we lost first round to the Clippers? Oh, I'm sorry. It was my ankle. So
I've run on a broken ankle. It's not. And his ankle's just sore. Like,
I messed up my ankle, man. I was in a boot.
I messed up my ankle.
Dirty play. Got sus on patchouli.
I walked like 8 miles the next day.
Oh, yeah, you were, like, in flip-flops, too, weren't you? Flopping around with a busted-up ankle. My goodness.
I mean, Trey Young had sprained his ankle, and he came back, and he's been fine.
I broke my ankle and took the boot off within 3 days and was playing pickup basketball in, like, a week later.
Broke, like a serious injury here, Chuck?
Like the
ankles are bad, man. Like
they are
but
pretty
man
bad.
Up, take a couple
also,
horse strengths.
Yeah, you should be able to throw on like a brace on it. Yeah, take a couple painkillers and just go out there and handle it. It should be fine.
A professional athlete has access to even
and doesn't LeBron? Isn't he noted for having the best like regimen as far as healing and stuff like that? You should be all right, bro. You took 20 games off, man. You took 20 games off for an ankle. You'll be all right, bro.
I was thinking about this yesterday because you know we were kind of bashing LeBron.
It wasn't broken, was it? It was just like a bad sprain, wasn't it?
That's what I thought. I didn't think anything was broken.
Yeah, like literally, that's what Trey just came back from.
But some people say that's like worse than a break, though.
Yeah, and let me ask you this: I mean, some people are we too hard on LeBron? He did go like how many years without basically missing a game?
I mean, no, he's got
a pretty good run there for a while, and he is like what 35.
He's got good durability. I won't fault him for that at all.
He's over 35, isn't he?
36, right?
He's in year 19, right?
36.
He came in then like 03.
I'm just thinking, like 36 years old. I mean, wear and tear, been in the league as long as he has, never missed a lot of games. Also, went to a lot of finals, a lot more games. Like, yeah, LeBron is kind of ridiculous on Twitter, but the injury may be more understandable just because he's.
Don't cut him any slacks. Stop.
Are you sure it wasn't that brutal foul that was on him the other night? Is that not why he's resting?
It's just he keeps finding ways for people to dislike LeBron.
Yeah, no, he makes it very easy to dislike him. And I think that's why there's a lot of people that dislike him.
Lakers,
even despite
man.
How good of a player he is, he just it annoys me, man. Yeah. Like, I'm not a LeBron guy, obviously. But it just annoys me with stuff like that because, like, yeah, he's a great player, and I would like to respect, you know, his greatness, but he makes it so hard when he's out there whining, flopping, doing this, doing that. It's a whole mess. Like, I don't need it. I don't need it. Get out of here, LeBron. I hope you do miss playoffs. I hope the Lakers crash and burn.
I wonder.
That's what I'm pulling for.
It would be so fun if the Lakers.
I hope they end up in the play-in game and crash and burn in the play-in game. That's my idea.
They get bounced by Jaw and the Grizzlies.
Do we give any chance for the Lakers to get bounced even without LeBron? Like, they still got Anthony
without
Davis.
Without LeBron, I'd say yes. I'd say
really. I mean, we're still with AD.
If they stay in the spot where they are now and they're playing the Clippers,
I was thinking playing game. Do you think they could get through the playing game without LeBron? Because that's
easily,
I mean, the way we're looking at it, that's kind of what we're leaning towards.
They should, but also, I mean, you got to lose like three times if they were in the playing game. I don't think they'd do that, but
yeah,
you know, you never know. You never know.
All right. We'll have to
where are they keep at?
They
playing game
a
is San Antonio, Memphis. Oh, Golden State. Yeah, Golden State or Portland? They're in down there one of those teams. Definitely doable to get bounced. Mm. They're sitting in the sixth spot right now. They slid down, actually. So they would still get the Clippers first round.
Both Golden State and Portland, though, because one of those two would pass them to get out of the play-in.
Yeah, most likely. Yeah,
so I think what would probably happen is, you know, if the Lakers were 7 and Golden State was 8.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could see Golden State getting them.
I would think that San Antonio and Memphis would probably just both get bounced.
Yeah, no, you would think so. You would think so for sure. But, right now they're looking at a first-round matchup with the Clippers, so no LeBron for that. I feel like you got to give the edge to the Clippers for sure.
Man, how fun would that be?
That would be a fun one.
A Western Conference Finals preview, or not really preview, round. I guess just a first-round matchup. Yeah. That would be interesting. We have some baseball news as well. After about 2 months in Florida, the Blue Jays looking to go back to Buffalo. Going to have their temporary home back in Buffalo. After, what, they've been playing in Florida this whole time? Is that right?
They've been playing in Dunedin the whole year.
Why did they not play in Buffalo to start out? Just didn't really.
They were strict, too.
Oh, just the COVID restrictions, stuff like that. Okay, that's what I figured. But
man, pour one out for the Blue Jays. That sucks.
What, having to move around and all this?
No, having to go to Buffalo. Like, how happy do you think they were to be like, oh, man.
They're not bad this year, right? Around 500.
They're hot right now.
Yeah,
I was about to say.
They swept the Braves this weekend. They split with the Nationals last week. I mean, they're a good hitting team. They're pitching suspect, especially with Ryu out right now. So.
Yeah, I mean, they were in Buffalo last season, and then they get the upgrade. Man, we're in Florida. The weather's great. We got a lot to
that
do.
Is a good point.
There's no COVID restrictions. And then 2 months into the season, you get a phone call. Hey, how's Florida? Oh, it's great. The weather's great. Well, we're sending you to Buffalo. You don't even get to go back home, just a little closer.
What is the point of that? Why not just stay in Florida?
Honestly, if you're not going
at this
home,
point,
why not just stay? Exactly.
That stadium there is kind of crappy, though.
Really?
Like,
the one in Buffalo is not that much better.
I was about to say, what do they have?
But if you look at the one in Florida, though, it's a spring training facility. So
okay,
it's
I was about to ask where they're playing.
Spring training is like it's pretty much just played during the day, right, Charlie? Like I'm pretty sure on that. But like 95% of the games in spring training are played like. Mm-hmm. The middle of the day. Mm-hmm. So, at this facility, their light fixtures, you know, like the big ones, you know, outside, they're too short for MLB regulation. So, right, if you go there right now, they have portable light structures on the outside of the stadium to make up for, to, like, bring the stadium to regulation. And it's also, it's, like, really small. So, I mean, It wasn't meant to have a team playing there during the season. I don't think it was just. It's pretty much strictly their spring training park, and I think their place in Buffalo. Like, wasn't that their AAA place or something like that? So I mean, it is MLB regulation.
Yeah,
that's an upgrade for me.
It's
I know that the weather sucks.
I mean
probably
it's gonna be terrible
summer,
in
though.
May, right? I mean
it's
not gonna be awful or nothing. It's not gonna be brutally cold, but
I imagine it was probably. I know the MLB has.
Yeah, I was about to say not as good as it would be in Florida, obviously.
The MLB obviously has a ton of money, but it's honestly probably a pain in the ass to have those like mobile light structures on the outside of their stadium 24/7.
I guarantee it.
Yeah, they're probably renting them, so it's probably expensive.
Yeah, have you seen them, Charlie?
Yeah, I remember
like they're
huge. When we were playing them.
Yeah, like they're huge.
All right, there you go. You guys, everybody talked about that Braves game last night, or are we still going to try to? We still going to dance around that?
The boys are talking about the Nationals.
Man,
so excited!
Remember, Hayden was just roasting the Braves. Just roasting the Braves.
I told y'all yesterday.
The first place Washington Nationals.
I remember.
I told y'all yesterday the pitching was. I mean, with that pitching matchup, it was a crapshoot of a game.
Yeah, excuses.
Also, a pretty good game that got just got ruined by that grand slam. To be honest,
who's in first place though? Washington. Wait. Yeah,
actually,
they're still first place. Washington Nationals under 500.
We're half game back. We're ahead of the Braves.
Not even in first place anymore.
The Braves are 3 games under 500. What are you talking about?
Yeah, Smashville. Any more headlines?
Yeah, I got you. Got you another one. Wanted to bring up Let's see. I was going to bring up John Morant.
All right. Thanks, Eve, for the headlines, Raven. We're going to catch a quick break, and we'll come back on the other side. Talk sports on Fan Run Radio.
Apex Pest Control is your complete pest management company right here.
Back here on the program. So Draven kind of mentioned a little bit of the headlines. Cincinnati basketball had some very interesting stuff come out about their former head coach, which they, you know, obviously they ultimately fired. I think it was about April 9th or so. But a lot of stuff is starting to come out about what was actually going on behind the scenes there at Cincinnati. And it was basically a lot of player abuse is kind of the spectrum it was on. So basically, he had been reprimanded months before the firing, even, is one of the things that has came out recently. Yeah, he was fired on April 9th. What's this guy's name? Brannon.
John Brannon.
Yeah, John Brannon. Yeah. He got fired after 2 years at Cincinnati, and basically they were investigating stuff as far as basically just, yeah, he's been just basically been a little wilding out with the players a little bit. So they also were investigating him for possible special benefits for student athletes, stuff like that, yada, yada, yada. But apparently it was there was a predetermined plan to replace him without paying him his buyout, because they had already, you know, investigated a lot of this stuff, and they also said that there was no way they were going to be able to pay this $5 million buyout. But so basically, a lot of the stuff, basically there was like trainers that came out and were like, hey, we were concerned for the safety and the welfare of student athletes under this guy. One member of the team had to seek medical care following a practice. Basically, he was just going super hardcore at practice. It was after a 2-hour practice, he instructed them to shoot free throws. If the team failed to make a certain number, they had to run a bunch, basically. If they did not make the times on these runs, they had to run again. So, like, obviously, a lot of people out there have, you know, either played sports at one point or another in their lives. And you know, if you're doing these sprints and stuff like that, after you do a bunch of them, you're tired. That's how it works. You get tired.
It's crazy.
The odds of you making the same time as when you were fresh goes down a lot. But that was his punishment, is if you're not making these times, you have to go again. And basically, they kept going again and again and again and again. It was, they described it as overly strenuous, you know, basically workouts. They said that he did get proper water breaks, stuff like that. They were wearing hot heart monitors, stuff like that.
Thank goodness.
They got a little water, even though they were running nonstop. But basically, yeah, this guy was just working them like crazy. And apparently, it was basically just like really just intense workouts on these guys.
There was also apparently a report, I'm just looking into it a little bit, that said he bribed some of the players to not raise concerns. So basically, like, keep quiet.
Yeah,
so,
he was like, hey, I'll give you, yeah,
which of
absolutely.
Course they denied, him and his attorney, but still.
So it was basically just a very toxic environment, it seems like. Vit was up there in Cincinnati, so, and they didn't even do great this year.
They were not good.
They were all right. Like, we played them this year, obviously. We beat them, stuff like that. They did make it to the AAC championship game. They had a nice little run in their conference tournament, but then got beat down by about almost 40 to Houston. So,
I mean, with
wasn't
the,
great.
With the talent they had on their roster, they definitely underperformed.
Oh, they underachieved.
I mean, with Cumberland, reigning player of the year in the conference.
Yeah, no, they underachieved for sure.
Yeah, I mean, pretty bad when you have players that are passing out, getting dizzy, multiple players passing out, needing medical attention just during casual October workouts.
Yeah, it's not a good look at
not
all.
Not good. It's not the 70s anymore. You could do that back in the 70s and the 60s. My dad used to be like, oh, yeah, we'd lick salt and sneak plastic Ziploc bags of water during practice. They didn't give us water back then. They thought it was cowardly and can't do that anymore. We learn things. We gain knowledge.
Yeah. Oh, and that's, you know, what it is. You know, you got to learn from stuff. You know, obviously, you know, science evolves, knowledge evolves. We learn stuff throughout the years, and he was like, I guess you could sure claim it as like the old school method of doing things out there at Cincinnati, but he was working these guys, and we obviously have seen tons of stuff where, like, you know, the universities don't play this kind of stuff. Like, we've had times where there's been kids that have, you know, like, died from being overworked and stuff like that in workouts, like, even at the high school level, like, that stuff has happened in recent years. So they're not gonna fly with an entire team over here, you know, doing this stuff.
I wonder if Cincinnati will be able to bounce back from this as a program, because prior to this past season, they were perennially a top-tier mid-major.
They were a good program,
Mike Cronin. And they obviously fell off last year, and then this offseason they had, you know, so much roster attrition and so many players enter the portal that they got under five total players on their roster.
We understand why now.
they had a point where there was four players on their roster. Now, you know, I don't know.
They hired Wes Miller.
Yeah, I mean, so they hired Wes Miller. I don't know if they'll maybe get some of those players back out of the portal. I've honestly haven't, you know, kept up with Cincinnati enough to know if some of those players have come back or not.
Right.
But you wonder if just one bad hire and one bad season could completely derail what, you know, they've
built. It's happened to other programs like that. Like, that can happen, especially when you're one of those smaller schools where it's not easy to just casually bounce back with money and donors and stuff like that. When you're a smaller program, you either got to keep it rolling or you can drop off pretty significantly.
What's like, this guy didn't have any past like issues. He came from Northern Kentucky. He had a good run there. He built up a program that was terrible and made him something, made him somewhat relevant. Like,
tournament team. They made the tournament a few times.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's just like, it's just so weird for me to just think, like, he goes to Cincinnati and, like, do you just change your mindset completely, or was he actually hard on the players at North Kentucky as well, and we just didn't really hear
Kentucky
about
just
it?
Built,
like,
different.
I guess, like, that's what makes me wonder. Was he like, oh, I'm stepping into a bigger job, a bigger role, I need to be more of a authoritative figure?
Maybe. And sometimes, you know, guys, do take into those bigger roles and kind of get in that kind of headspace that I have to do something different, I have to be bigger than what I am, yada, yada, yada. Stuff like that, but
I feel like also a bigger program, you're more likely to get players who are less tolerant.
That's what I was going to say.
That too. Because,
I mean, it's not
more entitled a little bit.
It's not necessarily an incredibly uncommon thing, like, to have coaches that are really hard on players, to punish players with running.
For sure. I mean, that's a classic practice technique, but it does become problematic.
With guys that, you know, aren't just glad to be there. Mm-hmm. Like Northern Kentucky, you know, a lot of those guys are
just
glad
happy
to
still be
there,
playing
glad
basketball.
To have the opportunity to play basketball.
Well, when you say that, though, it makes me think, like, why didn't this come out earlier? Like, these players, why didn't they say something? Because that's like, you're right. Players are
like
that nowadays. But also,
if you had a coach like running you until you were throwing up and passing out, would you say anything? I wouldn't.
I probably wouldn't consider it if it was to a certain degree.
That's fair enough, but, like, yeah, there is that, like, line to where, like, okay, like, you're working them hard, you're running hard, but also at the same time, when you got players that can't finish the runs physically, you got players that need help off the court, a trainer has to step in to stop practice because of how extreme you're going.
Like, Cincinnati is good.
That's going to raise some flags.
Right,
you know?
Cincinnati is good, but they're not that good. It's not like you got to be like, man, I really need to stay in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
It's like,
you're like, okay, I can transfer anywhere.
Exactly.
And, you know,
this would be the year to do it. So, and, I mean, people did transfer, and he didn't end up getting fired. I was just kind of a little surprised it didn't happen, you know, a little bit earlier. I'm sure this stuff was occurring
I think it's kind of where like Charlie's talking about, like, a lot of times, like, when you're in those kind of situations, you're not going to want to be like, okay, I need to go, like who are you going to tell? Like, you're not going to tell, like, police, like, hey, this guy's running me too much.
If you're the sixth man on the Northern Kentucky Norse basketball team, your opportunities are more limited than, you know, Cumberland at Cincinnati. If you're running until you pass out, you just say, oh, man, going to be sore tomorrow.
But even at Cincinnati,
I'm
like,
transfer. Where?
It's tough at Cincinnati to be like, hey, like, I need to go tell somebody. Like, the trainers are obviously seeing this, seeing it go down, so it's not like you're going to go complain to them about it.
I just think, like, this,
you're
like,
not, you, I'm sure you don't have, like, constant contact with, like, the AD, and you're not going to go to the AD like,
and
hey,
I get that.
Your coach is trying to kill me. Like,
but there's definitely a way to report your coach. There's a way to do that. And also, like, we're in a day now, like, nowadays where, like, people are just so, like, they report everything. Like, everything's documented. Everything's on social media or something, and everything gets out. It just surprised me that, like, this went on for so long, and then it had to come to the end of the season before they fired him. That's all I'm saying. Players report, like, let's all be honest. People are more sensitive nowadays. Like, they're going to report stuff that bothers them, even if it's little stuff. Like, we've noticed that.
They are more sensitive. I will give you that.
Especially these players, especially with their ability to pretty much transfer wherever. Like, why not be like, screw this. After a week, I'd be like, screw this.
I don't know if that's true.
You don't think that's true?
I don't really have.
It's tough once you're in the program, though.
I agree with Draven, but I still don't. I don't have as big of an issue with this, honestly, as the national media seems to have. A coach running players until they pass out. Happens. Don't get in trouble.
What are we in the 1970s? What are we doing here?
It's one of those things that probably does happen behind the scenes, but like once it comes out,
it happens way more than
you need a little tough love. I mean.
Tough love, yeah. Run them a little extra. Passing out, you got players dying on the floor almost. I mean, what are we talking about here?
That kind of coaching There's a big difference. Toughen a team up, builds character, and it also bonds players. I think a great way.
Hey, man, you remember when we passed out together? What a bonding moment. Both of us fainting on the court while we're running sprints. Wow. I feel so much closer to you now. Maybe the bonding moment would be like, hey, this coach sucks. You want to team up and talk crap about this guy? That's the only bonding moment these players have.
Like being tough on a team can bring them together because they both went through that together. I mean, thinking back to like when me playing like even high school football, like on a small scale, our coach did things that definitely weren't allowed. That he probably would have gotten fired for. And, I mean, still, like, when I run into an old teammate now, we'll be like, man, remember when we had to do insert crazy punishment not said on the radio here? Like, yeah, it brought us together. And it was guys that, like, otherwise I probably wouldn't have had, you know, a great relationship with.
And, yeah, like, I will go and say, like, yeah, it happens behind the scenes. Like, obviously, like, I think there is a lot of the programs that are probably running these players really hard, stuff like that. But it just comes out as a bad look when it gets out and you have all these players transferring. And even if you're going hard, I don't think there's many programs where trainers are having to jump in and be like, hey, we got to shut this down now. Like, these guys are, like, I don't think it gets to that point in most places. But, yeah, no, there's nothing wrong with, like, working some guys. Like, that happens everywhere. Like, that's one of those things. But, yeah, I think he went a little over the top. But also he's not at the same level as, like, the guy at Wichita State when he was, you know, him going crazy and stuff like that. But
yeah, that was kind of my point, Draven. It's like, what do you think gets reported first? Running somebody to death or somebody punching somebody, the coach punching a player in the face? Which one, in your opinion, gets reported first?
The player getting punched in the face.
Okay, yeah. Well, they went on for like 5-6 years, maybe even longer than that. He was there for like 10 years. Never reported.
That's a good point, yeah.
So that's my opinion. Like, I don't. Thanks. When you're part of a team, it's hard.
You don't want to be that guy.
Yeah. When you're part of a team that's winning,
it's a lot easier when
Cincinnati is 6 games under .500 to go tell on your coach than when Wichita State is having undefeated seasons and unparalleled success.
And you don't want to be that guy either because, like you said, you're winning.
Came out when they started falling off.
Yeah, exactly. Like you said, like, yeah, if you're on a winning program, you don't want to be that guy
Northern Kentucky brings down
the program, you know?
Went from nothing to a perennial mid-major winning the Horizon League. You're competing for it.
Yeah, no, you don't want to be the guy responsible for bringing down your program because you got the coach fired when he was rattling off undefeated seasons. Like, you don't want to be that guy. So most guys are going to sit there and be quiet about it and just be like, it'll get better tomorrow. You know, that kind of mindset. So
you're much more open to dealing with tough love and tough coaching when you're winning than when you're losing. If Cincinnati was 8 games over .500 and, you know, a 6 seed in the NCAA tournament, he probably still has his job. They probably don't tell on him.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it probably is a better situation for sure. But, yeah, it did end up coming out, and now here he is, and he's gone. And, you know, Cincinnati's got to start over. But interesting stuff there. You know, we've seen lots of stuff like this the past few months, it seems like, stuff coming out about the coaches doing stuff like this. Mm-hmm. And obviously there's lots of traditionalists out there that are like, whatever. Players need that kind of stuff. You know, obviously that's out there, but it just is a bad look when it comes out to the media.
Let me say this. Players do not need to pass out. Passing out does not help you prepare for any game better. It doesn't make you be in better shape. It doesn't help anything when you're passing out on the court. That's all I'm going to say.
I agree with that for sure, but yeah, we'll take a quick break. We got some comments from John Morant for you Grizzly fans out there. John Morant out here trying to stake his claim of where he stands in the NBA. So we'll kind of touch on that. So stick with us. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.
Hey, folks. Jamie here at Alban Franklin Motors on King.
All right. Draven, you kind of have this John Morant trying to stake his claim.
Yeah,
what did he say? Kinda top five point guard?
Top five. He didn't just say just top five. He said top five for sure, Cam. He is for sure. He is a top five point guard.
He got asked on the Grizzlies?
Maybe. Right there with Grayson Allen.
Yeah.
but he got asked where he ranks himself amongst active point guards in the NBA. And he said top five for sure.
Top five.
Brings up the debate. I mean, is John Morant a top five point guard?
I can easily rock out five better than him. You got Steph, you got Dame, you got Irving, you got Chris Paul.
Let me stop you. We still putting Kyrie over Jaw.
Yeah.
Even with
Kyrie's still a better player than Jaw is. Like Jaw's good. Jaw. I've liked Jaw. I've soured a little bit just because Grizzlies fans like to bother me. But besides that, I like Jaw. I was a big fan of him going to Memphis. I thought he was going to be a really good player for him. But I can't lock him in as a top five point guard. There's no way. Like, I obviously am pretty confident that my point guard's better than him. And I don't know if I'd put Trey as a top five guy. I'd say he could be borderline.
I mean, does Jaw Morant even make, like, top 10? Where's he at? Top 10? Honestly, that's what I'm wondering.
If you take people like Jamal Murray, healthy, stuff like that.
Like, do we throw Ben Simmons in that point guard category?
Yeah, if you put him as a point guard,
6'10", guy that handling the ball.
Ben Simmons
What are we
sucks?
Talking about?
I hate Ben Simmons.
The defensive player of the year right now, the guy that's dominating, having a huge year for the 76ers, what are we talking about? Oh, he can't shoot. Let me hear it right now. Go ahead and say it. He can't shoot a three,
Why does Ben suck?
Can't shoot a three. Is that your reason, Chuck?
Just doesn't do enough for me.
Does it triple double?
Does everything except shoot a three. It's the one thing he can't do. Is shoot. Everything else he does good. He does great. Even
shooting's pretty important.
It can be. If you surround
yourself
with shooters.
You don't need it when you can get to the rim at will, though.
That is true.
I just really don't like Ben Simmons.
He's a top five point guard. He would definitely have
to
go in the
top five.
Ben Simmons
up there for sure. But yeah, Jaw is a little out of the realm here, in my opinion.
I love the confidence.
I mean, that's good. Yeah, yeah.
And he's like,
he's confident in himself.
You don't believe in yourself, Cam. Who else?
No, you, exactly. Exactly. You should believe in yourself. True. But he's believing in himself a little much because he is not a top five point
top
guard.
Top five one day?
I was about to say, sure.
Once Chris Paul retires, Westbrook retires, once you have all these older heads retire a little bit, yeah, you can maybe crack that. Even if you consider like Luka a point guard, Luka's ahead of him too. Like,
yeah.
He is borderline maybe top 10.
You taking Jamal Murray over Jaw Morant?
I feel
like those two are
lean
pretty close.
Yes. I lean yes, but yeah, that's a lot closer argument, I think, than obviously him being top five.
Again, we're acting like Jaw Morant's been in the league for at least a couple years. It's still just year two, which is crazy to think about.
Yeah.
I mean, it still is. Like, he's still young.
He has had a few games this year where he has really struggled, though. So like,
yeah, he was brutal the other night.
When he got ejected,
like
and stuff. Like,
2 for 14, something like that.
Like, you don't see Chris Paul doing stuff like that.
Well, get Chris Paul getting a little whiny when he was on the Rockets.
I mean,
man,
he gets whiny, but like, you don't see him going like 2 for 14 and
not
being a detriment to the team.
But when
know?
It comes to getting teed up and
bugging
the ref,
Chris
Paul
would get into it.
He was a little whiny on the Rockets.
I do like the confidence, Jaw. I like it. I appreciate it. But I can't put you as a top five point guard.
I'm assuming Cam's taking Trae Young over Jaw for sure.
I absolutely am.
Chuck, you taking Trae Young or Jaw Morant?
I'm taking Jaw Morant. Mm.
Interesting.
What's Jaw do better besides dunk the basketball?
It makes his teammates better.
Oh, does he? Is that why his team's sitting outside the playoffs right now? Is that why?
Probably like a half a game.
So he's sitting outside the playoffs right now?
By like a half a game.
Okay, so he's getting the playoff playing game. That's cute.
I mean, would the Hawks be in the top eight in the West, do you think, if they played the same schedule as the Grizzlies?
Yes, look at our record against the West this year. We whooped the West.
easy. Yeah. Easy. Trey Young averages 9 assists. I mean, Jaw only 7 if you want to throw stats into the picture.
Would the Hawks beat any of the top 8 teams in the West in a best-of-7 series?
Absolutely. They just smoked Portland yesterday, dude, or a couple days ago.
I don't think they would.
They would smoke Portland. Okay, who's the top 8 in the West right now?
The Suns, no.
Yeah,
the Jazz,
Suns,
no.
Jazz,
Nuggets,
no.
Clippers
probably not.
The Mavericks,
Denver, probably not. Mavericks,
Denver,
yes. Lakers,
the
no.
Mavericks
LeBron,
will be close.
Absolutely. Portland, yes.
Nope.
Yeah, we'd get Portland. No. Absolutely, man.
I don't know about a 7-game series.
No.
Dude. Yeah, we'd be. We just just smoked them. They can't play defense.
It's also
we
one
smoked
game,
smoked them on
though.
A Tuesday night. Oh.
It's like one
It'd be
game.
A good series. It'd be a good series.
Portland, while they were on the 6-game win streak, and we were like, okay, yeah, enough of that. Handled that. Yeah, I'm not concerned about the West. That narrative that the West is so much better than the East is a little overrated. Like, obviously, at the top end, I would say, the top heavy West teams are probably slightly better than the East. But I don't think it's as clear cut as everybody tries to make it that the West is better than the East. Hogs fine. Trey's better than Ja. That's. No disrespect to Jaw. Like I said, I love Jaw. I think he's a great player. But making teammates better, that's definitely not what Jaw does better than Trey. That's one of Trey's specialties, man. That's what he's good at. Like Dre would say, he's averaging 9 assists a game, man. Like he's really good at getting his teammates involved. Like if you look at his teammates' numbers outside of him playing versus him not playing, their numbers are way better just because that's what he is. He helps his teammates. You know, he has lots of games this year where he doesn't have, like, a field goal in the first quarter and a half of the game because he understands people are trying to shut him down, and he just gets assist and stuff like that, or he gets to the free throw line. So I am definitely on the Trey better than Jaw train, but yeah. I love Jaw. He's one of the great young point guards in the league. Like, there's no you know, putting that aside, but he's not top
He's
five.
The Dak Prescott of the NBA.
Yeah, Jaw is. Sure.
Mr. Garbage
Jaw?
Time.
Is that what Jaw is? Didn't he call Trey that yesterday? Everybody's
sure. I was talking about Trey.
Oh, you're still talking? Mr. Garbage Time? You're calling him Mr. Garbage Time? Oh, Lord. I'm not even going to get into that. When the Grizzlies make the playoffs, we can maybe have a conversation.
I mean, I'm not a Grizzlies fan. I don't care.
I know, but let me know. Let me know. When Jaw makes his teammates better enough to get into the playoffs, Give me a call. I mean, we'll talk about it a little bit.
Trey's on a much better team.
Well, oh, now the Hawks are a great team? Okay.
Well,
yeah.
Talent-wise, they have more talent than the Grizzlies.
Oh, is that why all the Grizzlies fans try to say Jaren Jackson and Jaw are better than – you're saying Jaw is better than Trey, but now the Hawks have less talent? Is that the road you're going on here?
Well, two players aren't an entire team.
Okay. Okay, fair enough. It's not. But –
Grizzlies are pretty good.
I mean, I'm just.
I think it's about.
I think
it's
the Grizzlies
close.
Are pretty good. I mean, I think the Hawks supporting cast is better than the Grizzlies supporting cast.
I mean, he might be right. You got Grayson Allen out there starting. Dylan Brooks has been hurt.
Hey, oh, my fault.
Jaren Jackson's
been
hurt.
Oh, don't give me in the injuries.
I think the Hawks are definitely
they are a
deeper
team.
They're deeper for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Obviously, I think they're a better team, but yeah. I do like it from Jaw. I like the confidence. Go out there. Talk that talk. But I would like to see you back it up a little bit more, my man. We'll see, though. Like, I mean, they should be in the playing game, you know, have a shot to make playoffs. We'll see if they can actually pull it off. But, we'll kind of see how that goes for sure. But coming down the stretch here for sure. So,
what, 5 games?
Yeah, about there.
A handful of games
there,
left
for
now?
Sure.
Crazy.
But... yeah, we'll catch a break here, and we'll come back on this side. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Apex Pest Control is
We got more Aaron Rodgers news coming out?
Absolutely. New report from Mike Garofalo. I said Garofalo or whatever the hell I said earlier.
Is that how you say it?
Garofalo, right?
I always thought it was Garofalo.
I think it's Garofalo.
I have no idea.
It doesn't matter. Guy's on NFL Network. He kind of knows what he's talking about.
Mm-hmm. Insider.
He tweeted out that Aaron Rodgers reportedly was telling free agents that he will not being Green Bay in 2021. Oof. So, yeah.
Interesting. So, kind of on that spectrum, either one, he's if a good player wanted to come to Green Bay, he was like, no, don't do it. Like, I'm not going to be there. So they could have got better players, possibly, hypothetically, there. At the same time, like, yeah, that's a pretty big statement. Just letting everybody know that.
Yeah.
Wow. It sounds like he has his mind pretty made up on this situation.
Almost set, right?
That's what it seems like. It seems like he almost, like, it's almost unfixable with the way he's been talking.
Did he wait for Deshaun Watson to have his moment?
He's an attention whore.
Is that what this is? The whole trolling of the group message seems a little bit like too much. Like, come on, man. If you're going to do this, like, be professional about it. Like, making fun of the GM.
He's not
like
professional.
It does seem like he. I don't know, man. It's interesting here, but it seems like he's pretty dead set on what he wants to do here. I think Jeopardy's in his future.
I hope that he retires for Jeopardy, but then Joe Buck beats him out for the job, and then he's just left with nothing.
I need to find out when Jeopardy is announcing the new host.
I don't know. You just can't trust a quarterback that can't even chug a beer.
Fair enough. He was very bad at that. He was very bad at that.
Forgot about that video. Where was he at? A baseball game? Was that what it was?
The Milwaukee Bucks.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Game. Honestly, yeah, you know
like
what?
The guy that
if I'm
be
the Packers,
beer.
You know, I'm trading him. I would have traded him for the second pick in the draft. Or, I mean, the third pick in the draft. Got a bunch of assets from the 49ers.
They should have. Run
with Jordan Love or whoever the 49ers give you, and then just continue to build a monstrous team with, like, Kyle Pitts or Jamar Chase in that spot.
I mean, is it worth the hassle, like you said, at this point? Like, dealing with all this nonsense,
left, and you're dealing with someone that might tear your locker room apart. That's just not a good person,
right?
Either that, or I'm.
Man,
actually,
the
I
beer
actually,
was like half full too.
I don't know, dude.
I'm trying to chug this thing.
Now that I'm thinking about it, I keep going back and forth. I think I am still going to continue to try to call his bluff because I'd rather and just force him into retirement. Get an extra $30 million in, then no other team has him.
I think you'd rather
trade him.
Though,
yeah,
right?
I'd rather trade
him.
If he's just
going to
retire, I'd rather trade him and get the assets.
I don't. Would you rather have a couple more picks, or prevent someone else from immediately becoming a Super Bowl?
But is he going to actually play for him? You could ship. Like, I know he has. I don't think he has a no trade thing in his contract.
Not that
you
I
could
know
just
of,
ship
yeah.
him to anybody and be like, here you go. See you, Rodgers. If you didn't want to be here, now you're stuck in. You know, not Jackson. They just drive somebody, so they're probably not going to take him. But you could ship him to, like, the Jets and be like, you know, they drive
definitely
somebody too.
To
but still, you could just be like, hey, sorry, you're in New York
here
now.
Here in Las
like,
Vegas.
Yeah, like, you're stuck somewhere now that you don't want to be.
That's a good place to
Yeah,
what are some bad places?
Vegas was on his list, too.
Yeah.
Where could we send him?
That's okay. Now I'm trying to
Chicago.
Think.
Yeah, in the division.
They'd still be pretty good.
Detroit.
Yeah.
In the division.
Crap. But it's still Detroit at the same time. So
Detroit is still terrible. I would probably still trade him to Detroit, to be honest, because he's no
what are you going
to
do?
Yeah, really.
You had Matthew Stafford and couldn't get over 500 but one time.
Exactly. So I'm sure you could just ship him to somewhere that, you know, you don't really care about, stuff like that. Why can't I not think of, like, a good place to ship him right now? Why am I blanking on that?
Dude,
I mean,
everywhere seems like a good
Houston.
Place
we just,
because
Aaron Houston.
Rodgers,
yeah,
good.
Houston. There we go.
We did just get out of the draft.
Ship him to Houston.
So.
Ship him to Houston. For the Sean Watson.
No, don't. Please.
Could he elevate that team? Could he really get Houston as terrible as they are? Would we say they have two good players left on that roster? Like, could he really even get them to the playoffs?
I don't know. With the AFC just as good as it is.
Like, who the hell's Texans coach again? The guy from Baltimore, what was his name?
No one wanted the job.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, nobody did. I can't remember. What was the guy? Like
David
the,
something.
Like
right?
The receiver
right.
coach or something?
Yeah,
David Culley, yeah.
Yeah.
What a weird guy to be coaching.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could just ship him somewhere. Well, Houston doesn't have any assets either. They traded all their draft picks.
But they have Laramie Tunsil.
Oh, yeah. That's saving
where
their franchise.
Went. Larry Tunsil.
Yep.
Laramie Tunsil. Right.
But you could ship him somewhere, get some draft picks, rather than just him retiring. But
I think you'd have to weigh $30 million and not making someone else a direct competitor with us for the championship,
mm-hmm.
or
whoa.
A couple first-round draft picks.
Did Green Bay feel like they're still in a championship window with Jordan Love?
I think they would think that they were.
Jordan, it depends on how they feel. Man, like, apparently they feel good about field. Jordan Love, but he's obviously not Aaron Rodgers.
Tell me if I'm wrong, but was he even suiting up?
No.
That's what I was thinking. Like, he wasn't even their solidified backup.
You did put him on a real – you would still have a really good roster around him with Devontae and Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon. And
whoa. Is it the whole complaint about Aaron? Like, not enough receivers, not enough talent around there.
Yeah, because Aaron's a whiny coward.
I just think you plug in Jordan Love that this team would just be a mess. I think they would. I think they'd be a mess. Unless the guy is just
look at the
ready.
NFC North, though. Chicago.
Justin Fields. I feel better about Justin Fields than I would
about
Jordan Love.
I would feel much better about the Packers than the Bears.
Jordan Love is decent.
The Bears have been saying for 60, 70 years that they are quarterback away?
They've been saying that since they won a Super Bowl.
I'm not saying that he is, but I feel like they would feel pretty good.
Justin Fields?
Oh, no, come on now. Lord. That's not a good take.
Jordan Love was terrible. You guys act like Justin Fields was so bad in that Northwestern game.
Go look at Jordan Love's tape.
Go look at his tape in his last season over at Utah State and tell me how you think.
I thought Jordan Love wasn't terrible, but he was bad last year.
LOL, Detroit, and then the Vikings. Yeah. I mean,
if Rodgers is gone out of that division, I would lean Vikings or Bears winning that division. I'd lean Bears. I'd lean Bears. I just don't think the Packers. I don't think we'd have to see Jordan.
You just
Love.
Need league average play from Jordan Love, though. I think on that Packers roster,
I don't know if average is what you need
because their defense has been so bad, man. Like.
You just had the
Aaron Rodgers scores.
Was excellent.
It was not excellent.
Their pass rush was great.
Tell that
Jair
to
Alexander.
Kevin King in the NFC Championship game. They gave up what 28 points in the first half.
Yeah. Jair Alexander
has a case to be better than Jalen Ramsey, they got three good defensive players.
Whoa, Chuck! What are we talking
three
about?
Three good
here?
Defensive players doesn't just, make you a good defense.
Jair Alexander better than Jalen Ramsey?
I said
Jair
Alexander made a case last year to be better than
Jair Alexander is really good. I do really like Jair Alexander.
We're not putting him on the same level as Jalen Ramsey.
Oh, he's at least on the same level. Better, I don't know. You can make a case. But on the same level?
What are we
yes.
talking about?
Yes.
The Rams had the best defense in the NFL, mainly because they completely schemed around Ramsey. They're putting Ramsey on an island, running something completely different on the other side of the defense.
Also, they have Aaron Donald and Robert Quinn in another good corner
Robert
with Jalen Ramsey.
Robert Quinn's not there. He's in Chicago.
Oh,
but
my bad. Who was their other pass rusher?
Brockers, Michael Brockers.
Pardon me.
And that's fair. Donald's really good, but Jalen Ramsey's also really good. It helps when you have
no
a
one is saying that he isn't. We're just saying that Jair Alexander is also really good.
Jair is definitely probably a top 5-10 corner in the league for sure. Jair's good.
What was the Packers' pass defense ranked this season? I feel like they
it's
were
not
still
great because he's the only guy
numbers.
In their secondary.
I mean,
he's
Savage,
the only guy in their secondary.
They have Savage too, and the other safety.
Did they get Amos this year? Is it Amos?
I thought he played for the Bears. He did, but I think he left the Bears.
This segment of really shown how great Green Bay's defense is really going well, huh? Yeah.
I think it is, dude.
Look at their pass rush. I'll give you Preston Smith, Za'Darius Smith, two really good edge rushers. I'll give you that. Kenny Clark on the inside. They got a good defense line. Their secondary's not that good. Their secondary is average.
Adrian Amos and Darnell Savage? Good secondary.
You can't tell me that when Brady had the game he did against them and still threw three picks in that game and still beat them. Like,
three picks, huh? Sounds pretty good for the Packers.
Two of them was Brady just throwing it up.
Yeah.
And every time they weren't intercepting the ball, what was happening? They were getting burnt.
Yeah,
they were getting toasted.
The Bucs defense set up the Bucs offense so well in that game.
They do have Adrian Amos as a safety.
The Bucs defense did so much for the Buccaneers to be able to score in that game.
Their second best corner is Kevin King. Chuck, let's not act like this.
Not a bad corner.
Just got torched the whole NFC Championship game.
We got
to
get out.
Yeah, we're about to closing out hour two here. We'll kick off hour three with headlines. We got overrated, underrated coming at you later, too. Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.